It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to have you. And I always appreciate hearing from you. I know there are times when we're on the air, people call and we're in the middle of something, we can't take the call. Always feel free to call back, or you can reach me quickly through email, through Facebook. And I love getting your comments and reading your comments, particularly when they're flattering. They're not always, but they usually are. This one, for example, comes from William. He says, "What I like about you and the other conservatives in media is that you say what I'm thinking, but don't have the eloquence to articulate. Your words encourage, Mr. Siegel. Thank you for your radio show." Well, thank you, William, for your encouraging words. I also have a comment today from my brother who lives all the way in Israel in the precarious West Bank. Because of the internet, this show can be heard all over the world, as all shows can now. And Paul heard the show I did with columnist Mike Friedenberg. Remember, Mike came on and once again accurately called the election for Trump. Well, a couple weeks later, we were back with a celebration and a post-election analysis. I appreciate Mike as he really gets into the statistics and the nitty-gritties and the polls. I'm not like that. I paint with broad strokes. Even when I make a prediction, I'm basing it on human behavior and trends and the fact that people are so imitative. But Mike looks at the polls and the stats, and that's one thing I really appreciate about him. Well, when he came on and we had a lot to celebrate, he did mention that surprisingly, despite all the anti-Semitism as a reaction to what happened in October of 2023, when the Jews were attacked and brutally murdered and raped by Hamas, and yet Israel was blamed on our college campuses and other places, we thought that we'd see a Jewish vote turn away from the Democrats and toward Trump. And I had been of the opinion that that was happening. But my observations were anecdotal. I saw many Jews interviewed on TV saying, "I've been a Democrat up to now, but the Democrat Party has deserted me. It's become anti-Semitic, or at least they're putting up with anti-Semitic people like the squad. So I'm turning to Trump." So when Mike told me that according to the polls, there was not much of a Jewish swing toward Trump, that surprised me. But he wanted to know why I thought that was true as a Jew. And even though that surprised me in the moment, I was able to talk in general about our recent history at the end of the 20th and beginning of the 21st century about why Jewish people tended to be liberal. Well, for one thing, most Jews in America are atheist or agnostic. The conservative Jews and the Orthodox Jews have voted Republican, but they're the minority here in America. Now, they love Trump in Israel, but that's not the same here in America. And when Mike asked me the reason, I said they're caught in a time bubble. I grew up in the 1960s and my parents raised me. They were Democrats. They raised me to believe that Franklin Roosevelt was a hero. Well, he was a good commander in chief, and if we'd had a different president, perhaps we would not have won World War II and defeated Hitler and the Nazis, and of course that goes with the Holocaust, the Nazis. So for many years, Roosevelt was revered as a hero to the Jews, and he was a Democrat. So over the years, Jews continue to vote Democrat, as if they're forgetting that it's no longer Roosevelt in power. And ironically, as the years went by and we learned more about the Roosevelt administration, he didn't seem to be that fond of the Jews. He didn't seem to care that much about them. There were many Jewish immigrants that were denied entry into the United States, even though they were fleeing from Hitler. So even Roosevelt wasn't quite the hero that they imagined, but people just got locked into that time warp, and they forgot that Obama is not the same Democrat that Roosevelt was. And Biden, well, he's the worst president we've ever had, and we've had some bad ones. Anyway, I pointed out that that was the reason why Jewish people were not voting Republican for the most part. And although I thought that was starting to change again based on anecdotal observations, Mike was saying that the polls didn't reflect that. Here's what my brother wrote after he heard the show. Paul Siegel, all the way from Israel. "Hey, Bob, regarding the polls on the Jewish vote, they were way off. First, there is only one poll that tracks Jews over time, and that is only for New York. That poll showed New York Jews going from 30% for Trump to 45%. That is huge. Even better are the actual counties and districts where most Jews live. These are not polls, but actual results. The Jewish areas were overwhelming for Trump, some up to 80 and 90%. Even L.A., Miami Beach, New Jersey, and New York. This is not just the Orthodox vote. Jews who fear anti-Semitism and the fact that Democrats are split on this issue, while nearly all Republicans are pro-Israel and don't apologize for the Islamic hate happening to America. I think what he means by that is they don't apologize as if America did something to encourage the Islamic, that there's just something about that religion that says we're going on a jihad. We hate America because they're not Muslim. I think that's what my brother was trying to say. Then he goes on to talk about Mike Huckabee. He says, Mike Huckabee just got ambassador to Israel, a very strong Christian supporter of Israel. Well, I certainly agree with that, Paul. Anyway, I shot his letter off to Mike immediately, and Mike responded promptly. Here's Mike Friedenberg's response. Bob, I would prefer to believe the polls your brother has seen. I looked at two different exit polls that had different results, and they were tracking everyone. Consequently, the Jews were a small subset of the overall voters they polled, and thus the results may not be very accurate. And given that two different exit polls gave widely divergent results, that is certainly the case. A poll like the one your brother described will tell us with much more accuracy what happened in New York. And it would be safe to assume that if there was that much movement toward Trump in New York, then there was probably some movement towards Trump for Jewish voters across the United States. And if you have areas that are mostly Jewish that went for Trump, that would also be a definite indicator. Bottom line, it looks like the exit polling was very inaccurate when it came to the Jewish vote, something I will keep in mind for future reference. It will be interesting to see what Pew comes up with when they do their detailed post-election analysis. Mike. So those were the words of Mike Friedenberg. I appreciate Mike's response. And again, he did acknowledge originally that there were differences in polls. So to wrap this up, what I said on that show about Jews in America being liberal and voting Democrat and why they do it is still an accurate portrayal of the last few decades, but apparently it is something that is changing. And it's about time. The rise in anti-Semitism enabled by this spineless, feckless Democrat administration is a rude awakening, a horrible awakening for my fellow Jews. It's too bad they didn't see the handwriting on the wall years ago, but I can still be grateful that they are at least finally waking up. Not all, but many. This is Bob Siegel with the help of his brother Paul and his friend Mike Friedenberg making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, the election aftermath continues. Trump is more popular than ever, not with the left so much. They seem to be having a difficult time accepting the election. This after 4 years of lecturing Trump supporters to accept the 2020 election. Well, that may be the reaction of the pundits and certain Democrat politicians, but President Biden and Vice President Harris, who ran against Trump, they at least want you to know that they are calling for a peaceful transition of power. Now, I should say, so did Trump after the 2020 election, but that is not the narrative from the left. They don't want you to notice that Donald Trump did peacefully leave Washington after Biden became president. He got on a plane with Melania. He left. But they don't want you to think about that. They want you to think about January 6th, the day their election results were being counted and certified. They wanted some states to recertify the election results because some of these states were claiming there was reason to believe in fraud. Not the least of which, 6 states deciding at midnight to close down at the same time and recount anyway. I won't litigate all of that again. Point is, Trump was entitled to a recount. But the left wants you to focus on some Trump supporters who protested the election results by breaking into the Capitol building. You are supposed to forget that Trump himself had nothing to do with that. He did not call for that. There were thousands of people at that rally. A very small percentage of them broke in. Trump did call on them to go and march next to the Capitol, but he called them to do it peacefully. He's on video saying that. And you're supposed to ignore the evidence, originally suppressed, but evidence which has since come out, that prior to January 6th, Trump offered to bring out the National Guard to make sure matters didn't get out of hand. But the mayor of D.C. rejected his proposal, and Nancy Pelosi did not call in the Capitol Police to be better prepared. I've gone over all this with you before. They were more interested in the optics. They wanted it to look like an insurrection. But the truth is, Donald Trump did get on a plane. He did leave peacefully. He did not hang around Washington, unlike Obama's so-called peaceful transition of power when Trump won in 2016, bugging the Trump Tower. And Hillary's campaign creating a document about Russian collusion, since proven to be false. But Biden wants you to know that unlike Donald Trump, he will oversee a peaceful transition. So he invites Trump to the White House, shakes his hand, extends hospitality, offers him a cup of coffee. That's great. That's great, Joe. Prior to that, year after year and day after day, you were calling Trump a threat to democracy. Many of your fellow Democrats called him a fascist, compared him to Hitler. So, were you shaking hands with a fascist, Joe? Were you inviting Hitler to the White House for a peaceful transition to power? As you can see, my friends, none of them took that fascist Hitler stuff seriously. Not even the celebrities. We're finding out that the Harris campaign went into debt because they paid so many celebrities. Oprah Winfrey was paid $1 million to have Kamala on her show. Now, she denies that. Technically, she's correct, because the money didn't go to her. It went to her production company, Harpo Productions. And she wasn't the only celebrity asking for money. Many others did. Yes, Kamala, we will come out and support you because the stakes are so high. The situation is so urgent. We have to save the country for democracy. We have to speak against this fascist Hitler who wants to take over. And we'll come out and support you, provided you pay us to do so. But back to Biden. He wants you to forget about all that and concentrate on the fact that he had a good few hours with Trump at the White House. They got along great. And there's a reason for that. With the left, the narrative always changes when it's convenient. Calling Trump a threat to democracy was a convenient thing to say during the election. After Trump won, the narrative du jour was, hey, look at me. I'm welcoming Trump. No January 6th stuff happening here. Well, good for you, Joe. What a photo op. But that is all Joe's peaceful transition of power is. A photo op. Make no mistake about that. Joe's peaceful transition is laced with every booby trap he and his fellow Democrats can possibly think of. He all but starts World War III by giving Zelensky the green light to fire U.S. missiles into Russia, knowing full well that Trump promised a peaceful solution to the conflict. So let's make it as difficult for Trump as possible after he gets in. Never mind whether or not the world will be at war. And Democrats who lost the Senate are using this lame duck in between time to push through as many liberal judges as possible to stop Trump at every turn. A good deal of what they hope to stop is Trump's promise to close the border and deport illegal immigrants. On that same note, Biden is attempting to fast-track citizenship for illegal immigrants. And yes, you did hear me call them illegal immigrants, not undocumented workers. Deal with it. Why am I using that term? Well, it seems they are here illegally. But the left loves to conflate issues. They make it sound like conservatives are against immigration. We are a proud nation of immigrants. If you believe in deportation, you're against immigration. Those are the talking points. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not against immigration. We are against illegal immigration. And guess who else is against illegal immigration? Many of the migrants who came here legally and waited in line and did it right. But states such as Colorado, Illinois, California, and others are saying they will refuse to cooperate with deportation. They will protect their states. The first round of deportation will be criminals and thugs and violent murderers. That is who they are protecting. And the media continues to carry their water even after one of the murderers is found guilty in a courtroom. The headline on MSNBC says, Laken Riley's killer never stood a chance. Oh, the poor guy. Well, they got so much blowback, they pulled that headline off the internet immediately and changed it. But you'd think the left was fighting to save civilization by coming up against Trump and the deportation. I'm reading from the International Business Times. As tensions rise over President-elect Donald Trump's impending second term, a Democratic state senator from New York has suggested a drastic solution, secession. Liz Krueger, chair of the New York State Senate Finance Committee, has proposed that New York leave the United States and join Canada, arguing that Trump's policies threaten the state's progressive values and federal funding, according to Washington Examiner. Krueger, a prominent Democrat from Manhattan, has gained attention for her unconventional proposals to counter Trump's administration. Among these are withholding federal taxes and a call for New York, along with other liberal states like Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont, to secede and become a province of Canada, per reports from Politico. Okay, just wanted to read it to you right from the source. So, seceding from the Union because Donald Trump won the election and will act on his promises doesn't sound much like a peaceful transition of power, does it? Don't forget, during the presidential debate, the objective moderator asked if Trump would accept the election results. After all, there was January 6th. Well, yeah, once again, Trump wanted a recount on January 6th. There was nothing wrong with that in as much as Hillary and her cohorts denied the election results of 2016 and called Trump an illegitimate president the entire 4 years he was in office. But he's not allowed to question an election. It is a lie that he called for violence on January 6th. It is not a lie that he challenged the election and called for a recount. And who was calling for a recount this year? Well, among other places, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Senator Casey, defeated by Republican McCormick. Ahead of time, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had ordered election supervisors not to count ballots not properly signed. Well, while they were working on this counting and calling for a recounting, one of the supervisors just brazenly said she's going to count those illegitimate ballots anyway. She said court precedent doesn't mean a thing. Now, she backed off after the court went out and reissued the order. But what a peek that gives us into what happened in 2020. How much fraud went on then, which has not yet been confessed. As I've always said, what liberals deny today, they will admit tomorrow. I said the day would come when they would just brazenly say that they were going to ignore the rules like this woman did. How many others were there? The day will come when you will hear people say, yes, we tried to stop Trump. Wouldn't you have tried to stop Hitler? Wouldn't the ends have justified the means? Wouldn't you have cheated to stop Hitler? Well, we've talked about this a lot before. Of course, who wouldn't have cheated or done anything to stop Hitler? Of course, their only evidence that Trump is Hitler is that he disagrees with their policies. The people who say that either know nothing about Trump or nothing about Hitler, or most likely nothing about either. Hitler was a man who murdered millions of people, sent men, women, and babies into ovens and gas chambers, and they're comparing Trump to Hitler. All it does is water down what the real Hitler did. But like I said, they will use the Hitler narrative to justify what they tried to do with Trump. You just wait and see. But for now, what happened in Pennsylvania was just another example of the left's peaceful transition into power. Another one would be families around the Thanksgiving dinner table. How many people came out and said, because my family voted for Trump, I have disowned my family, or I won't have Thanksgiving with my family. My parents aren't going to be able to see their grandchildren anymore, or at least not on Thanksgiving. It varied from person to person. These from people who lectured us for 4 years about accepting election results. One woman said, you voted for a man who wants me dead. I disown you. Where do they get this? Trump wanted her dead? A lot of it is made up. A lot of it is delusional, of course. Perhaps it can be argued that she was referring to illegal back alley abortions, since she was assuming Trump would ban abortion nationally. Once again, Trump has spoken against a national abortion ban. Once again, I personally would like to see a national abortion ban without any apology, but we aren't talking about me. We're talking about Trump. Trump never claimed he was going to do that. Trump spoke against that. It is a lie. But whatever her reason was, she was claiming that her family, by voting for Trump, was voting for her death. You can't make this stuff up anymore. That is another example of conflation from the left. They conflate abortion with birth control. Very few Christians or conservatives are against birth control. We are not talking about taking your condoms away from you or taking the pill away from you. We're talking about a life, another life in the mother's womb. What part of that do you not understand? But I saved the best for last. Perhaps the greatest example from the left of a peaceful transition into power, violent threats against Trump cabinet members, Trump potential cabinet members. And this happens on the same week as the would-be Florida assassin communicating with the press. He says he tried to do what he did because Trump was a threat to democracy and would become a dictator. Gee, where oh where would they have heard that? From President Biden? From Vice President Harris? Yeah, they hope you're too stupid to notice that by saying all these years that Trump is a threat to democracy, it is they who were not allowing a peaceful election because they were putting ideas into the minds of deranged people. And yes, I believe that only the deranged person who tried to pull the trigger should go to jail, but that does not mean that those who inspired him are not culpable. And yet they have the nerve to tell us Trump is the threat to democracy. Biden, Harris, it's time for you and your ilk to stop lecturing us about peaceful transitions and just provide the peaceful transition already. Just go. Just leave. Don't let the door hit you on your way out, and hopefully leave us some semblance of a country, and don't destroy it before you leave. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious. Thank you.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and I want to introduce a very special first-time guest. Alexandra Levine is an internationally renowned opera singer turned conservative political activist. Alexandra got involved with politics in 2015, volunteering with the Trump campaign, and worked with all incumbent Republican Florida congressmen, as well as Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. She also worked on state and local races nationwide from 2017 to present, including both of Governor DeSantis's campaigns. Alexandra is involved with the organization Jexit. A lot of people have heard of Blexit, not as many of Jexit. That's Jews exiting the Democrat Party. This organization also works to combat anti-Semitism, the persecution of Christians and other minorities. Alexandra owns her own political consulting firm, Levine Consulting. In addition, she has her own podcast on the Patriots Prayer Network called Alexandra 360. Every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. for those listening on the West Coast. Alexandra Levine, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Let me ask you, how did you get involved with opera, first of all?
Well, mother said that I sang before I talked. And it was always part of my life. And I discovered opera when I was a teenager. And I listened to the greats such as Maria Callas and Joan Sutherland and Beverly Sills. And when my opera teacher said, you have the vocal cords to sing opera, I was like floored because I knew about opera, but I wasn't in love with it. And then I just started studying it and I fell in love with it. And I obtained a great career doing it.
Well, when I heard that, I went online and I did hear on YouTube you singing God Bless America. You do have a very beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Now, that's quite a transition from opera to politics. How did that come about?
Well, I was never politically involved, but the Obama-Biden administration really hurt my profession and many other people around me. Under the Obama-Biden administration, opera houses were closing down all over the country and the world. The work was very stagnant.
Why was that? I could understand that happening during COVID. Why was that happening under the Obama administration? I mean, there were many things about his organization right. That I hated, but I wasn't aware of this one.
Well, there was no economic growth under Barack Obama.
Oh, right. And that's a luxury, going to the theater.
Exactly. And people could not afford to go to, for example, the Metropolitan Opera House. The New York City Opera, which had been open for 50 plus years, closed down. And that was a big awakening. And people couldn't afford to go to opera houses in Europe. People couldn't afford to travel to Europe. And instead of people going to seeing operas live at the Metropolitan Opera House, they were spending $9 at the movie theater to watch an opera, which is not live. So that hurt a lot of people. people in my profession that hurt myself. And I was living in New York at the time, and I went to Trump Tower in 2013 with a friend of mine. And I said, wouldn't it be great if this guy ran for president? You know, everything he touches turns to gold. And then, of course, he went down that escalator in 2015. And I looked up at God and I said, our prayers are saved. And I was a big Trump supporter. I still am hardcore Trump supporter. I'm part of President Trump's hardcore base. I love the man. And I knew he was going to win in 2016, and I knew he was going to win in 2020, and I knew he was going to win just, you know, in November 5th. I believed in the man, and I believed in everything that he said, and he helped me and inspired me to be a better person. He helped and inspired me to become an entrepreneur. He helped and inspired me to get back into singing. When he was the president, people were asking me again to sing. People were asking me again to travel across the country and the world, which I did. I sang all over Israel and Europe under his administration. And then Biden came in and ruined that again. And then we had COVID, and then Biden and Kamala Harris ruined that again. So that's why it's so important this time that President Trump is going back into the White House. He's going to be saving a lot of young people. He's going to be bringing jobs back to this country, and we're going to get our country back on track. That's why there was such an influx in young people to vote for him, because they're seeing that they can't afford groceries. They're seeing that they can't afford the things that they used to. And under President Trump, we know this, gas prices were down. People could afford their groceries. People were getting married and having kids, and people want to go back to that. They want to go back to the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's very rare that we have an election where we can compare the guy that ran things the last 4 years with the guy that's running again who was the 4 years before that. And it's not really rocket science. All people had to do was look at their lifestyle and their pocketbooks.
Exactly.
So it is interesting. You seem to have been very familiar with Trump before he became a candidate. Of course, he was really well known all over the media. And he was a Democrat and a liberal for many years. And a lot of the people that are now calling him Hitler loved him. That includes people like Al Sharpton. That includes the women on The View, like Whoopi Goldberg. They've shown footage of him as a guest on The View and them hugging him. He went to Hillary Clinton's daughter's wedding. It was only when he switched to the Republican Party, and really only after he got the nomination, it seemed like the leftist media was kind of enamored with him when he was in there breaking things up and going after the establishment Republicans. They loved that. But once he got the nomination, isn't it interesting how the script flipped?
Yeah, but the thing is, I've seen it time and time again. And even working on campaigns, I see people that love my candidate during the primary, and then my candidate loses, or my candidate attacks someone else, another Republican, and then they turn on my candidate, or they turn on their so-called friends. So what President Trump really did is he showed the American people who his friends are and who his friends aren't, and who became his friends, people like myself. The MAGA movement, people that support the MAGA movement, the forgotten man and the forgotten woman, people that have been Democrats for years that always voted Democrat but voted for Trump in the general, or people that were always Democrats and switched parties to Republican or they switched to independent. So Trump really opened up people's eyes. And President Trump also saw who he can and cannot trust. And he even says now, he says, you know, I had a lot of bad people that worked under me in 2017, 2018. I'm a newbie. I didn't know. And even his son, Don Jr., admitted that on Fox News recently. But if you see now the people that he is appointing in his cabinet and the people that are going to be working in his administration, these are people that have been loyal to President Trump from the beginning. These are people that really care about our country and really want to get our country back on track. And I applaud President Trump for calling out Chuck Schumer, for calling out Hillary Clinton, for calling out all these people that were supposedly his, quote, friends, that are not his friends anymore.
Yeah, he's a quick study, and he's much wiser now. When he went in the first time, he said he was going to drain the swamp. I don't think he realized the swamp was as deep as the Grand Canyon. Probably none of us did. And he was a deal maker. He thought that he could get the Republicans and Democrats to work together. And he certainly thought the people in his own party, the Republicans, were going to be on his side. He assumed that if somebody was a trusted general or head of the FBI, he could trust them. He learned right away that this didn't happen. And when I heard he was running again, I often said over the air, if he comes back into power, every single person that falls under the administration of the executive branch needs to be fired, up to the guy that empties the waste baskets. Now, I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to pull that off. If anybody can, he can. And if he doesn't do it, I don't think it will ever happen. But I did want to ask you about that. These cabinet picks of Trump, what are the chances that they're going to get confirmed and get past some of these rhinos that we have in there, like Mitch McConnell and Lisa Murkowski, some of the others?
Well, that's a great question, too. I mean, as you know, he appointed Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida as the attorney general.
And he's already out.
He's out. A lot of people said that Trump did that as a way to kind of wake up we the people, to let you know where these Senate rhinos are coming from. And again, John Thune's job as the new Senate majority leader is to work with President Trump and to work with his appointment. And if he, for some reason, doesn't get them through, then we the people need to primary these rhinos out. President Trump said we need to get rid of the rhinos and the Never Trumpers and the snowflakers of this country.
Yeah, so unfortunately, some of them are not going to be up for re-election the next 2 years because they get a six-year term.
Right, that's true, too. That is very true as well. But the thing is, President Trump has the power of the purse. He does have executive order powers. Like he even said, if they don't get Matt Gaetz through, we'll find another way to get him through, or we'll put him in a different department. And we see what they're doing with Pete Hegseth. They're going to probably try to push back on Kash Patel, who's fabulous, and they're probably going to try to hurt RFK Jr. as well. But it's about we the people, and we the people mandated, we voted for President Trump. We mandated that he is going to be the next president and that these are the things that we the people need to survive. And if they don't get these guys through, it's going to be a real issue and it's going to be a real problem going forward.
I hear you. Unfortunately, it's becoming so apparent that the Washington deep state Republicans, not all Republicans, but a lot of Republicans and Democrats alike, don't seem to really care what the people say. They are there and they are entrenched. And honestly, I think what threatens them more than anything is what Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are planning to do. They could go in there and easily fire 60-70% of the people like they did with Twitter turning it into X, which I would just love to see. But those people are going to lawyer up and call on their unions. A lot of this is going to get settled in the courts. It's going to be ugly, but it's got to happen, because if it doesn't happen now, I honestly don't think this country will ever see a chance for it to happen again.
I agree. I also think they need to get rid of the special interests and the lobbyists on Capitol Hill. They're a detriment to our nation. The lobbyists and special interests, the majority of them are Democrat. Unfortunately, they do control the power of the purse. They make $400,000 a year to $1 million, and they have a lot of influence in who gets in and who gets out. It's not the political consultants that are the problem. I know sometimes political consultants get a bad reputation. It's the special interests and the lobbyists that are hurting our nation, and they should be removed from Capitol Hill. They shouldn't be allowed.
Now, you mentioned Cash, and of course, he was recently nominated for head of the FBI. Have you met him personally? I noticed a picture of the two of you together. Have you met Kash Patel?
I have. I met him in November of 2021 here in Maryland. It was an event. I was VIP at the dinner. I did have a lovely conversation with him and a nice rapport. And then we took the picture together. And he's just a very sweet guy. And he loves this nation. And he's a very intelligent man. And I had the pleasure of meeting Congressman Devin Nunes, former Congressman Devin Nunes. And him and Kash worked together, and you know, we talked a lot.
And they've been victims of the weaponized FBI, haven't they?
Yes, they have been.
So they're going to be well motivated to go in there and really clean house.
Correct. And the reason that President Trump is picking certain people is these people have been hurt themselves by the FBI and the DOJ. Tulsi Gabbard, for example, was put on a FBI terrorist watch list.
Yeah, here she's a veteran. It's just appalling what they did to her.
It's appalling what they did to her. And she's tough as nails. And I'm really glad that she was appointed a DNI director. And of course, we want the JFK files open. We want the RFK files open. RFK Jr. wants to know what happened to his father, his uncle, and his family. I mean, this is important stuff that needs to be released. And the deep state and establishment, of course, are getting scared. And they were saying when Kash Patel was appointed, now the FBI is just shredding everything, shredding the paper, shred, 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 because there's a lot of corruption in those departments. There's a lot of corruption in the DOD and NSA, a lot of corruption in the CIA as well. And they're scared that these big appointments are coming in and they're going to clean house.
Well, let them shred whatever they want, just as long as their jobs also get shredded. That's what I say. Now, I want to talk about the Jexit movement. Are you Jewish yourself?
Yes, I am. I'm 100% Jewish.
And are you? Do you consider yourself religious Jew or Reformed, or where would you put yourself?
I'm a religious observant Jew. I'm not Orthodox. I was brought up conservative. I do keep kosher in my home. Mm-hmm. I observe all the holidays. I actually studied to become a cantor and a rabbi. So I have a lot of the knowledge of Judaism in my blood.
That's wonderful. And you've been to Israel as a singer and probably many other times. Tell our audience what it's like to actually be in Israel. I've been there twice. I'm imagining you've been there a whole lot more than I have.
I actually have only been there twice. I was supposed to go there the third time, but because of October 7th, I couldn't go.
Oh, yeah.
before, but I've been asked to go. I actually just renewed my passport, so now I can go. Thank God I can go again. But it's a beautiful, beautiful country. I felt a lot safer living there than in New York City, Maryland, other places in the country that I've lived in. And the people there are so nice. I have a lot of friends that are still in the Israeli Defense Force. I have a lot of small business owner friends in Israel that I'm still very close with. I have family that live in Israel. I have family that live in Tel Aviv. They live in Renana, Netanya. And I had the pleasure of working with the government, the Israeli government. I'm a direct descendant of our prime minister of Israel, Moshe Sharetz, who was the second prime minister of Israel. The first foreign minister of Israel is my relative.
Wow.
He was the first signatory of the declaration between President Harry Truman and Israel. And also, my family is also connected to Tiberias. The first mayor of Tiberias, his wife is my direct relative as well. My family literally built Israel, so I have strong ties to Israel.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, what do you think about this? I've talked about this a lot on the program, but this narrative going around today that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land, that there was this indigenous group of people called the Palestinians who lived there for thousands of years until those nasty Jews came from Europe and threw them out. That is the narrative that's being believed on our college campuses and disseminated by our university professors.
I know, and it's total ignorance. It's extreme ignorance. One of the things that I do, it's my life's work, is to make it mandated to teach the Holocaust in all 50 states, K-12. I'm also working with the universities to give them the entire 47-minute video of what Hamas did to the 1,200 innocent people on October 7th. I saw the 47-minute video. My father and I both did. We saw the full entire video. We watched it all. We watched the horror of what these people did.
It's just women were raped. Babies were put into ovens. Babies were decapitated. Yeah. At least the Nazis, not that I would ever defend the Nazis, they tried to cover up what they did. Hamas was reveling and putting it out over Facebook programs while they were committing the rapes. Everybody needs to see that video.
Yeah, they do. And I've pushed the Israeli government to see it. They have to be very careful releasing the whole 47-minute video. That's why they've kind of released snippets of it. But I am pushing that into the colleges and universities, that that needs to be a course that is taken. Also, I work with a lot of school boards all over the nation, and I've educated the teachers and the school board members on the proper curriculum to teach to the students in different wavelengths. And I tell them, don't just teach the Holocaust. Teach pre-Holocaust, up to the Holocaust, and up to how Israel became a state, and then up to October 7th. They need to know that knowledge. And also, I told the schools they can put a Christianity and Islam aspect into it, talking about how Christianity was created, how Islam was created. But the biggest thing, and President Trump talked about this, any teacher, any administrator that pushes political bias into the classroom, meaning not teaching the Holocaust as it was or putting their political spin, as, will be automatically fired. I combated CARE in Annapolis, Maryland. I got CARE itself to be removed from the Anti-Hate Commission permanently. The fact that it was even a part of the Anti-Hate Commission is disgusting, but CARE will not have any effect on the Anti-Hate Commission anymore. But I'm working in Montgomery County schools right now to remove any teacher that is associated with CARE, to not teach anything that has to do with the Holocaust or anything that has to do with Israel, because they are going to put their political spin into the classroom.
Well, thank you so much for your courage. You're a very brave person. We need a lot more people like you.
Thank you. It has to be done, because I think of, you know, I don't have children, but when I do have children, when the day comes, I think of them. I think of my future, the future children of this country. I also think of my nieces and nephew, because a lot of kids are homeschooled because they don't teach the curriculum properly, and they're pushing CRT and gender identity in certain states nationwide, and it's a real problem.
That is a nightmare, and you don't hear as much about it, but I think this last election, in addition to the economy and the open border, was a backlash against the CRT and critical race theory and all the woke nonsense.
Well, that's the reason why Governor Youngkin is the governor of Virginia.
Yeah.
Because pushing that, the CRT and the gender identity in Loudoun County, which is a more liberal county. And because of COVID, you know, the parents finally saw what is being taught in their child's classrooms. And they're like, what the heck is going on? This is not appropriate. I don't want my five-year-old cousin knowing what sex is or reading books about incest and rape. It's disgusting. Not children should be taught at an elementary school level. They should be taught real history, real things that matter, not about incestuous relationships with mother and father and mother and daughter and mother and brother, mother and son. It's disgusting.
Well, and assign gender.
Correct.
During COVID, all we were hearing was follow the science, follow the science. Is there anything more scientifically verifiable than the genetic difference between a man and a woman? It's like the emperor's new clothes. It's like, never mind, don't believe your lying eyes. If everyone else believes this, it must be true. And nobody else does believe it, but everybody thinks everybody else in the crowd believes it.
Exactly. And again, it's the minority trying to be the majority. Thank God that Tim Walz did not win, because as you know, his state, under his leadership, through executive order, he said that a three-year-old could go and say, I want gender reassignment surgery without parental consent. And that's disgusting. Why should a 3 or a 5-year-old be thinking about that? And
that's the law in my state too, California, under Governor Newsom, unfortunately.
Right. Oh, Governor Newsom is another one. I think Kamala Harris wants to run for governor in your state. You better get
out of here. Yeah, that would be just wonderful. States like Texas are looking a whole lot better to me these days. I wanted to ask you your opinion of the pressure being put on Netanyahu to make peace with Hamas and have a ceasefire. I certainly understand every family whose loved one is a hostage and they want them back. I understand that. But doesn't that just embolden terrorism if they don't go out there and completely finish the job?
It does. But Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's got two missions, to annihilate the enemy once and for all and to bring the hostages back. And he's been doing that. And I blame Biden, because we still have American hostages still under Hamas rule. And he hasn't done anything for that. But the Israelis, they're actually the ones that have gone in and released all the hostages and have tried to bring back the American hostages safely. They were on their way to bring back the American that was murdered, Hirsch Goldberg Pollan. I knew his family well. And it was very sad. It was very, very sad. But if Biden would have been on top of that from the beginning, maybe Hirsch would still be alive today.
Did you see the news just recently where Biden was photographed coming out of a bookstore holding a copy of an anti-Israeli book?
Yeah, it's insane.
With that lying narrative about the indigenous Palestinians, people don't even understand that the word Palestine was invented under Hadrian, Emperor Hadrian, after he kicked the Jews out of Judea, and it was a Latinized version of the word Philistine. Nobody hears this stuff. Nobody's taught this anywhere.
Exactly, because they're uneducated, and that's the problem. And again, it has to do with the political bias that's in the classroom. But Biden has dementia. Biden's out the door, so he figures I can do whatever I want. But it's disgusting because he's supposed to be, quote, the commander-in-chief, and this is what he's pushing. But Biden is the reason why October 7th happened and why the war is still progressing in Ukraine and Russia. And President Trump has said, we want to end the wars. And let me tell you something, Prime Minister Netanyahu is very happy that President Trump is going back into the White House. And it's a shame what the ICC is doing to Netanyahu. I knew that was coming. That was George Clooney's wife, Amal Clooney, by the way. She's the main attorney in charge. I'll never see a George Clooney movie ever again. I will never patronize the man. But that's his wife doing it. His wife is behind this. His wife is the reason why the Prime Minister Netanyahu was indicted, and that's why he can't go to the Ukraine and like 12 other countries for fear he'll get arrested. It's disgusting. It's very disgusting. And the ICC really has no clout here. They're just an outside organization that really doesn't have any merit here. I mean, Biden came out and said, oh, we denounce what they're doing. But he's the reason why they're doing it. He was behind it from the beginning.
Do you think the Democrats will really cede power? There are some people wondering if Biden won't just step down so that Kamala has to get in as president and then perhaps declare martial law or something. I know that sounds a little outlandish, but there's nothing I would put past them, honestly.
Yeah, I heard that rumor. I think if they're going to do it, they would have done it already, or they would do it probably by now. But I think President Trump and Joe Biden had a very interesting conversation at the White House. And there's reasons why Joe Biden pardoned his son today. That was a really big story that just happened.
Oh, I had not heard that. I had heard that he was thinking about it. Well, there's no surprise. We all knew he was going to do that, right?
Yeah, we all knew he was going to do that. But
especially when Joe insisted he wasn't going to do it. That was the moment I knew he would do it. Whatever Joe says he'll do, just go to the opposite.
Exactly. There was some talk there between Joe Biden and Trump. And, you know, we weren't there. We don't know. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens come January 20th.
Well, I know this. The more the deep state sees this cabinet and thinks about this cabinet that Trump's assembling, the more desperate they are going to be to try not to seek power, whether it's not approving of the appointees or just trying to keep Trump out altogether. I'm not saying they'll succeed, and I don't think they will. I just think it's not over yet. And I think that between now and when Trump is actually sworn into office, we're going to still see all kinds of drama.
I agree. I just want him to get sworn in. I worry about his safety every single day. I just want to see him get sworn in without any problems. I really do. I pray for that man every single day. And that's all we can hope for in this world, because people are like, it looks too easy. This is too easy. Something's going to happen. It looks too easy that the deep state would just allow him to win and he's going to take that oath of office and he'll be fine. I do worry about his safety a lot.
Yeah, I do too. And I pray for it every day. Alexander, we only have 1 minute left. I want to quickly get your own views on this whole Jexit movement. Some of the stuff you might have heard me say earlier about how traditionally Jews have felt obligated to vote Democrat, but that's changing. What kinds of change have you just been an eyewitness to amongst fellow Jews?
Well, I'll be honest, the organization Jexit Inc., we have been astronomical in talking to Jewish people, getting them to either leave the Democrat Party by either changing parties or just voting Republican, because we bring up the facts to them. When you talk about the universities, I'm an NYU alumni, and I saw a lot of the Gaza encampments at NYU. I saw a lot of Jewish kids getting attacked by these pro-Hamas people, and I reached out to them on social media. I did not bring up my politics. All I did was ask them, how are you doing? Are you okay? And they said, oh my God, we can't even get that from our own president, our own dean, our own classmates. So you, a perfect stranger, reached out to me and we love you for it. And then, of course, I got into my politics and they found out I was a Republican. I voted for Trump. And they said, because it's you, because you reached out to us, we're going to switch parties and we're going to vote for President Trump. I also was front and center at a lot of these universities, such as Towson University, combating the BDS solutions that the student body was pushing and passing. Thank God a lot of them are non-binding. But that really hurt a lot of the college students to know that their school is allowing BDS resolutions to be passed. And that deterred a lot of Jewish students to vote for Democrats.
Okay.
And they ended up for President Trump because of that.
All right. And Alexandra Levine, what an honor to have you on tonight. I wish we had more time. I hope you'll come back and be a guest again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me at Alexandra Levine on Facebook and Alexandra LEVI20 on X. And also, please go to my website, levineconsulting.co. That's levineconsulting.co.
Okay, we'll see you next time, everybody.